stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 20 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. This is now the 20th episode of this podcast, and I feel like there's no better way to celebrate 20 episodes than to go back and take a look at some questions that I've gotten. Specifically, I have gotten a ton of questions about all my stacking episodes that I've done recently. So, think back to a couple weeks ago, I did stacking part 1 at the beginning of July and stacking parts 2 and 3 at the end of July. And I got way more feedback about these episodes, specifically of people asking about different scenarios, than I'd ever gotten out of any of my other episodes. If you ever want to reach out to me and ask me questions, I am 100% open, and I will try to make this a more regular thing, where I'm answering some questions of, why did you look at things a certain way? How can I take this data and apply it to my specific team? Does this apply to different league types that maybe you didn't explore in the episode? That's the kind of stuff that I'm trying to answer, and is relevant to you, the listener. I want to know what sorts of things you still have questions about after I do an episode. I'm just going through and pulling enough data to produce an episode of I'm shooting for about 30 minutes in length. If there are more questions about it that you want me to go into, that's great for something like this where I'm going to answer questions or even an additional part. So that's what we're going to do here today. I'm going to go through, I have four questions that I have been asked over the past couple weeks, and we're going to go through and investigate all of them. Before I get into question one, I want to make sure you check out our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can sign up for live prize breaks of all sorts of amazing sports memorabilia. If you have a room that just needs something extra just to show that, yes, I truly love sports and I love the greatest athletes, then you need to go to Ultimate Autographs. If you go to signed shit, that's signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout, you're going to get 15% off your order. Once again, that's signed shit, signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. So question number one comes from Big Daddy Wook on X. He asks, at what point does stacking become excessive and counterproductive? And then he goes on to list his team. He has Kyler Murray, Michael Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown, and Jordan Love, Christian Watson, and Romeo Doubs. He asks, am I overstacked at this point, or should I lean into it with more options, such as drafting rookie running backs like Benson and Lloyd? So the important thing here is to look at this team's actual roster construction as a whole. So in general, yes, we want to stack, and we want to stack with our quarterbacks to capture those high spike week games that they can provide for their targets on their team. But we found that the strongest positions to do this are at the wide receiver position and tight end position. Running backs are not quite as strong as stacking with the quarterbacks, although they still can be beneficial. It's still better to have a running back stacked with your quarterback than to have a totally different equivalent level of running back. However, in your scenario, we're looking at three different top-level quarterbacks. We're looking at Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, and Jordan Love. And then he also goes on to list that he has a backup quarterback of Derek Carr as well. Obviously, you aren't starting all three of these quarterbacks on any given week. And so what more of your problem is with this team is that you have so much value into this third quarterback and trying to build up this third stack that it's going to hamper your ability to upgrade other positions that are in your starting lineup. We want to make sure that all the positions in your starting lineup are in fact improved over the players that they would normally be. If you can upgrade your flex position to be a better flex that maybe would be in somebody's normal like wide receiver two position or something like that, that is a huge benefit than having the potential for a stack on your bench for that one bye week that you're going to have. Or in this case, you'd have two bye weeks, one for Arizona's and one for Philadelphia's. So if you are staring at a situation like this, I don't want to build into that third stack. So I want to take one of these three stacks and try and trade it away. You can trade it away piecemeal, you can trade it away whole, but the important thing is you're trying to upgrade the rest of your roster. Because it is not worth it to hold on to a stack for the sake of having a stack. The reason to have a stack is because you have players that are paired together rather than unpaired players. And when you have players paired together, when they hit big for you and they win you your weeks, and more specifically, they can help win you your championships. So I don't want to have a stack sitting on my bench that is of as much value as any of these three stacks that you have are. In your specific scenario, it's not that the stacking is excessive in terms of the number of players that you have in each stack. I think each one is fine. Even Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Michael Wilson, I think is fine. As long as you don't have a better wide receiver to put into your lineup than Michael Wilson. What you don't want to be doing is benching somebody like Amari Cooper for Michael Wilson. Because if you're doing that, you're missing out on Amari Cooper's much more points that he's going to score than Michael Wilson. So that's the balance that you need to do. You need to try and make sure that you are stacking players of the same value as your other options. If you can get yourself to a better option, then that's the player that you want. So the point is you're trying to create stacks that already fit what you have in terms of proper roster construction. You do not want to have stacks just for the sake of saying Koopa said that stacking is optimal, so therefore I am going to stack more. Question number two comes from Poyle on Discord. I'm not sure about the results on a specific stack. If we test with an Allen and Diggs stack, for example, we can also test with a pair like Allen and CeeDee. My guess is that we would find it is good to have those good players of good offenses. I'm not sure that looking at specific stacks really gives us information about stacking. I'm not sure if I'm explaining myself correctly. What do you think? So, I looked at this question and it already is going into what I talked about when I was answering question number one. You don't want to stack for the sake of stacking. You want to stack when you have the option between two equivalent players. In a case of comparing Stephon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb, you have two players that have wildly different expectations. Diggs is expected to be, hey, he is a good wide receiver two. He could be a back-end wide receiver one. CeeDee Lamb is expected to be the top wide receiver. You don't want to pass up on having the top wide receiver just to stack your wide receiver with your quarterback. That is not a winning move, and that's not what you want to do with your teams. But if, say, you're having to decide between Diggs and Amari Cooper for your wide receiver spot, and you have Josh Allen, you absolutely want to go with Stephon Diggs because he is going to be the better player for your team. So that's the level that I'm looking at. And so just to accentuate this, I decided to look at two players in how they performed in week 16 and 17 and found two players that had very, very similar scoring lines. Those are Romeo Doubs and Devonta Smith. And I compared Devonta Smith and Romeo Doubs stacked with Jalen Hurts. No, I'm not stacking Romeo Doubs with Jordan Love. I'm using him as the surrogate for Devonta Smith when he was stacked with Jalen Hurts in the last 2 weeks of the season. And what I found is that the ratio of how often Devonta Smith is going to win you your playoff championship is higher than that of Romeo Doubs. Yes, Devonta Smith is a better wide receiver in terms of how we overall perceived them, and in terms of how often they were started in our teams, etc. But they scored almost identical points. In Week 17, they scored an identical 6 points. And you would think 6 points, that isn't going to be a large difference. But in this case, we see that you have a 15% greater chance of winning the championship simply off of having Devonta Smith be the player in your lineup compared to Romeo Doubs. In terms of how teams were constructing around having this stack of Devonta Smith and Jalen Hurts compared to having Jalen Hurts and Romeo Doubs, that you had a 15% greater chance of winning the championship with Devonta Smith, even though everything should say, hey, Devonta Smith, he started on more teams. He had a bad week. He only put up 6 points. You're wasting a better roster spot in most cases with Devonta Smith. Then you should not have expected that Devonta Smith is the better player to start with your Jalen Hurts. But the data shows us that despite all of things that I just said, you still want to have started the wide receiver that is stacked with your quarterback. Now, that seems to make zero sense to me. And I honestly don't know why this is necessarily the case. But the data is here showing me that identical scoring of identical players, I still want to have the stack. And maybe I'm looking too much into one specific instance. Maybe I need to take a bunch of time and look through all the different possible permutations. But this confirms what I was already talking about of you want to have the stack when you have players of equal caliber. In this case, the equal caliber was scoring the equal number of points. And that's what we're aiming for. We want stacks when you have the choice between similar players. We don't want stacks when you have the choice of two players that have wildly different values and expectation. And in this case, Devonta Smith and Romeo Doubs didn't have similar expectation. They just had similar results. And so that's the reason I'm comparing them. So when we're looking forward into the future, do you want to have CJ Stroud and Stephon Diggs, or do you want to have CJ Stroud and CeeDee Lamb, or CJ Stroud and Justin Jefferson? You want to have the CeeDee Lamb, the Justin Jefferson, the Ja'Marr Chase, those receivers that are in that higher tier that you are going to expect more points out of on a weekly basis. The next question I have is from Peter on Discord. Are there any benefits to having any non-quarterback stacks, i.e. CMC and Ayuk, Chase and Higgins, etc.? Is there any data suggesting that skill position stacks are detrimental to your team success or helpful to it? So I looked at this in two different ways. The first way was the season long. The benefit to season long appears to be there. However, it's not as much as having the quarterback versus the wide receiver and tight end. But overall, stacking the same players seems to give you a similar benefit. My only concern is that this might be also due to player attrition. When you start talking about, okay, how often are these players just helping you get to the playoffs? I'm cutting out all of the players that ended up getting hurt and not making it to the end of the year. And so all of these groups of two players that are not quarterbacks, that are just skill position players, the reason they might all be positive is because, hey, these are guys that we were starting and they were both healthy all the way through the whole season. So there might be a little bit of data bias in there in the fact that they are all positive. But in general, it's all positive for season-long formats that if you have players on the same team, we're not going to be hurting yourself along a full season of playing. However, where this really changes is when you're looking at championships. When I am looking at the difference between how often a stack makes it to the playoffs and then wins a championship with quarterbacks and without quarterbacks, the difference is quite stark. In all of the stacks that I have, almost 80% of all stacks had a positive make the playoffs to championship win percentage. However, if you remove the quarterback from the equation and only look at stacks of skill players, that number goes down to less than 50%. In fact, it was about 40% of stacks that were of just skill players were successful in playoffs. 60% were detrimental to your team in playoffs. So when you get to playoffs, if you don't have the quarterback to stack with your players, you don't want to have individual player stacks on the same team. You want to be spread out among your skill positions and only be stacking with your quarterbacks. So that is also something that I'm going to be looking at. I did not know this until I was looking through the results for this question. As I am building my teams for this year, I'm going to want to make sure that I don't have stacks that don't have quarterbacks with them. I want to try to avoid stacks where I have multiple players that are going to be on the same team. Because if one player pops off, that tends to limit the ceiling of another player. And having somebody from a different team that has their own chance of popping off is going to be the route that you want to go in order to win your championships. In best ball, this can be slightly different because you aren't necessarily limited to the fact that, hey, I have to choose to put this guy in my lineup. So I might be a little bit lax there, but especially in my lineup leagues, I'm going to try and make sure that I'm not stacking skill position players, especially if I don't have the quarterbacks to go with them. The fourth and last question that I'm going to talk about this episode comes from Running Eggs for Life on X. Is there a difference in the data for 10-team leagues? I feel like stacking would be more important in a 10-team because of the variance factor. Currently hold an A-Rich Pittman and a Stroud Nico stack in my 10-teamer. First off, those are two great stacks to have, and overall, I've found that having two stacks is important and it is beneficial. So the fact that you have two stacks on this team, that's a great position to be in. But I wanted to investigate this 10-team versus 12-team conundrum. What does it actually look like between the two different kinds of leagues? And I found that the stacking rate in 10-team leagues are higher. But that also makes sense, because in 10-team leagues, you have fewer teams to disperse the assets among. You're going to have all of these higher-end assets that you actually are thinking about stacking on fewer teams. And so more teams are just going to be lucky in that they can randomly have a stack that is relevant to your team. Now, knowing that the rate is higher in 10-team, I would expect that you're going to see some differences in the percentages of improvement from 10-team versus 12-team. But I found that these differences were not quite the way I expected them to be. So, in season long, the difference was pretty negligible between stacks. When you were comparing stacks of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, or stacks of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, like, they were pretty negligible between one and the other. However, what was actually different was the increase in somebody like a Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, in the beginning of the season in your 10 teams, was probably missing your lineup more, whereas in 12 teams, he was started more. And so in 10-team, the bonus to all of the Brock Purdy stacks was greater than in the 12 teams. So I kind of look at it like there's going to be some differences in stacking where you want to stack the higher-end assets. And the lower-end assets, they're going to be worse in an overall stacking sense. An example of this was Baker Mayfield was not quite as powerful at the 10-team level as he was at the 12-team level. So when we're looking at these stacks in 10-team, in terms of a season-long perspective, I want to make sure that I am invested a little bit more in some higher end stacks. I want to make sure that the quarterbacks that I'm getting meet a certain threshold. And so when I was talking about, hey, in 12 team, that limit is I want to be aiming for anyone in the top 20 of offenses. I'm trying to cut out the bottom 12 and understand that that top 20 is going to go through attrition down to probably like the top 12, 14, somewhere in there. In a 10-team league, I might want to cut that down a little bit more, maybe the 16 to 17 range, so that way it goes through attrition down to like the top 10. And those are the stacks that I'm trying to actually target when we're getting towards the end of the season, is I want to have players in those top 10 stacks of in terms of quarterbacks that did not get hurt, major wide receivers that didn't get hurt, teams that didn't fall apart, etc. The other thing that was interesting in comparing 10-team versus 12-team is the effect of stacks in your playoffs. So in playoffs, I found that your 12-team leagues are more make or break depending on your stacks. The percentage of influence that your stack has on your chances of winning a championship versus just making playoffs is higher in a 12-team league than it is in a 10-team league. You want to try and have a stack more in that 12-team than in the 10-team. And I think it's because in a 10-team league, you have a greater chance of having more of those stud players. Those players who can just win you a week on their own, and you aren't relying on a stack to actually carry you. Whereas in a 12-team league, you're relying more on that stack to carry you. You don't have as many high-tier players that are going to help make up the difference if your stack doesn't fire and they just have a normal week, or even if they have a bad week. So while it's nice to have stacks in your 10-team leagues and across a season-long format, yeah, I want to, in general, still have my stacks. It is still more important to make sure that you have them in your 12-team leagues than your 10-team leagues. Obviously, I'm still trying to have them in all my 10-team leagues. It is still beneficial to have those stacks in playoffs. But the difference is, instead of having a 70% boost to your odds of winning the championship by having Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown, you have an 87% in a 12-team league. That difference is not a whole lot, but it is enough to pay attention and be like, I want to try and force it a little bit more in the 12-team leagues. If I can try and trade for AJ Brown for equivalent value, it's better to do that in your 12-team league versus your 10-team. Obviously, you still want to do it in both. You still got a bonus of 70 or 80% in both leagues, but it is just that little bit extra, little bit more impactful to do it in your 12-team leagues versus your 10-teamers. So there we go. Those are four questions that I've gotten all about stacking from the past couple weeks. If you have more questions for me, whether it's about the stacking episodes that I've done or any other episode that I've done, be sure to reach out to me at Dynasty Koopa on Twitter and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. I will always be open to answering questions, and I'll either answer it there in our chat message, or I'll let you know, hey, I'm going to add this to a future episode and let you know when I cover it. That's all I have for you this week. Make sure you are out there, you stay sharp, and you keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.